Welcome back, friends. Sarah was talking about the Lord prepares us. He allows us to go through the dark days or the gloomy days of winter, of that stillness of waiting, so that we can long for the excellence. And let me propose what excellence in the spiritual life might look like to you. My Father and I will dwell with that one. John 14:23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So let us listen what we need to do. He's telling us. He really is telling us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Look at the excellence that Paul puts before us to consider in the spiritual life. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. There is the cross. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So and it has been true with my own garden. My goals for the garden certainly have changed over the course of my life. I've always been tinkering in a garden, as all of my marriage, and my parents and my grandparents had gardens too. So there's always been this garden, and the goals for that garden in the various locales that I've lived change, right? And our spiritual goals can change too. Sarah and I talked about the excellence, the true excellence the Father wants to give us. And I gave you some consideration both from John and Galatians of where the true spiritual excellence is. But however you're, you know, wherever you're at, right, that's a good place to start. And if, as Teresa of Avila said, Lisieux, would be the little flower. She would look at these lofty aspirations that these great saints like Teresa of Avila, her mother in Carmelite, would have. And she would go, oh my gosh, I can't do that. You know, I look at some gardens and I know, oh my gosh, I can't do that.
Right.
But I can do this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
This other thing. And this other thing done with faithfulness, as we mentioned with Mother Teresa, is all to the good. We'll see if Sarah has, then we'll go into resolutions and saints.
Yeah. Well, I think that we have to, just to go with that, I think that we have to, that aspect of self-knowledge is going to be one of the most important things that you bring into any level of engagement, whether it's with a physical garden, right? Or, you know, I mean, if you don't have a tractor, you're not plowing acres. You know, it's you have to be able to be content in the gifts that our Lord has given you, and you know, to use those gifts to bring forth the blooms that are possible, right, to you. The sadness would be to fail to plant because you don't have a tractor, right? I mean, to think that you can do nothing if you can't do everything. Because a telos is always, I mean, it's always communal, but it's also in the particular, right? Like at the very, very beginning, you defined the three possible gardens, right? So the plot of land that could feed the family, the acreage of land that could feed a city, or the individual windowsill that could feed you, right? I mean, we have to know at what time of life and at what stage of life we are in, and to recognize that it's better to engage in the smallest that we can, rather than lamenting the bigger things that we can't do. God wants us to be doing.
That's right. And that came that doing what we can evokes in me a Jacques Philippe from the Interior Freedom, his pages 82 and 83. Within the aspect of resolutions, or within the aspect of, okay, what we're gonna do with the garden, he will say, God is the eternal present. Faith is required to trust in God and not be burdened by the past or a fearful future, what I can't do. What I can't do that because I don't have a tractor, whatever. He clearly states, and I have, Sarah and I, of course, talked on this book some time ago, and I have a link to it. He will state, the ladder of perfection has only one step, the one we take today. We can decide today to have trust, faith, hope, charity, good resolutions, relying on God's strength to fulfill these good desires, these good plans, these good works that we want to do. All we need to do is to rely on God's strength, right? And
I mean, truly, any engagement with God, an authentic engagement of the self with God, cannot fail to bring beauty into the world.
That's right.
You know, when we turn our back on God, I mean, I think we're living in it.
We are.
We see the. I mean, everyone feels it, and no one wants to engage in the fact that everyone is uprooted. Right? Nobody. You know, we will soon become a society of tumbleweeds, like those very dark, deserted, desert towns. Right? We risk becoming that if we don't root ourselves in Christ.
And speaking of rooting ourselves in Christ, we always go back to the masters, the saints. And in my mind, it turned to Gianna Molina. And we, you know, considered her not too long ago. Gianna notes that receiving her first Holy Communion at age 5 and confirmation at age 7 was fundamental to her spirituality, which means she's rooted, she's not a tumbleweed. Mm-hmm. And I just have to point out, it was the traditional Latin Mass that she came in under with this. And in fact, all of the preceding modern saints were followers of it. But why do I point that? Because we are looking at our historical heritage, not just this little part around us. And so at her confirmation, she made 2 resolutions. It goes exactly what Sarah was saying. She decided she would rather die than commit mortal sin. So that was going to be definite part of her garden. No mortal sins. And she did everything for Jesus. She was that Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you know, aspiration. And those 2 things rooted her in all of the journeys that her life would take her, eventually an early and painful death to cancer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and even in that, she would avow that God could not be outdone in generosity. Right. Even in her suffering. And I think that maybe the gardener, and that's what I was saying before, like I do think that there is a particular element of modernism that has become strictly outcome-based that demands a perfect outcome, or there is an absolute unwillingness to engage in the act, right, per se, in the action. And that's such a problem to the human person because, you know, I mean, it's trite to say, but nothing ventured, nothing gained, right? You don't gain without venturing. I mean, sometimes the venture doesn't bring the gain that you think that you are looking for. The outcome is not, it's not a mathematical equation. Gardening is never a mathematical equation. It's not, I plant the seeds and I plant one tomato seed and I bring forth 50 new tomatoes. It's never like that. God doesn't allow for us to have that amount of a knowledge of what the investment of our person is going to bring to the world. But what he does tell us is that when we invest ourselves in the world through him, that then there will be gain, right? Christ living in me is what brings out the multiplication of the loaves, right? It's not me. But, you know, if we don't even engage, and I feel like we are getting into a world that is, you know, it's not willing to engage. And that's going to be a real trauma for that person. I think it's going to be a crisis of that individual person, because there is a goodness that our Lord made us with, right? It is a beautiful thing that our hands can dig in a physical soil and plant a physical seed, so that we can, through nurturing and tending and watering it and bringing it sunlight, you know, that it can bring forth something. There's a goodness to that and a necessary element to the human person. And so I, like with Gianna Bredamola, I just think what a marvel and what a great gift of grace given to her in her youth that could carry her through, right? That like you always talk about the telos, she had her eye on the final prize. She was never satisfied with a temporal satisfaction when an eternal paradise awaited for her. And I think, you know, what a difference between that mentality of commitment from an early age to us now, that, you know, we're willing to settle.
That's right. All right, my friends, that is some thoughts to spur you on for this season of winter gardening, and a deep abiding hope in our dear Lord. Till the next time, Fide Sedratio.